Man, I'm pumped to worship today, to preach today. That worship, let's go through all that again. Didn't they do a great job? They did tell them. They did a great job. We always have volunteers in the sound booth and the media room. There's a lot of people that do a lot of things to be able to pull off what we do on Sunday morning. So thank you for everybody who serves and volunteers. I'm really excited about today, but before I get to that, just a couple things that I want to mention. Today is Palm Sunday. You might have seen the story this morning, or the post, excuse me, on our social media pages. Today is the day that Jesus came in and they laid palm branches down. So we are excited to begin Holy Week today. Good Friday service, make sure you're here for that. 6:30 is going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be something we've never done before and an experience like you've never experienced before. So make sure you're here for that. And then you guys ready for two services? We're crammed in here today from what I can tell. So starting next week on Easter, we will have services at 9 and at 10:30. So be sure and invite somebody next week. Let's fill this place, not so we can tell everybody how many people were here, but so that that many people can hear the good news that Jesus is risen. Amen. Amen? All right, so next week, Easter. So if you haven't done your shopping yet, you're in trouble because there's probably a lot of not many dresses left and bright clothes and all those things. It's always fun to see what people are going to wear on Easter Sunday morning. September the 13th, 1985. I'm sure that date means nothing to you unless it happens to be your birthday. September 13th, 1985. Arguably, the greatest and most influential video game ever came out. Anybody know what that might be? Nope. I did like Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, but that is not the correct answer either. Super Mario Brothers. You guys remember this? You play this game? Yeah, I took the music off of it because it's illegal to stream it. So you just get to watch level 1-1. I remember getting a Nintendo and playing this game, and it was so much fun. But remember, there was no save button, so you had to play it all in one setting. I mean, you could hit pause on your controller, but there was no saving it, so we got to play this level a whole lot because you always started on level 1-1. And then, you know, sometimes you would get frustrated. You know, maybe you made a mistake and you died here on this first level. So what would you do if you did that? Right, what button do you push? The reset button. Come on, I know it was a long time ago since we had Nintendos, but you got to work with me here. The reset button. And that reset button on this game reminds me of the passage today. This passage we're going to read in Romans today reminds me a little bit of a spiritual reset button. You see, we started off the story, if you begin at the very beginning in Genesis 1, God created the world, everything in it, and then he created Adam and then Eve. And then they made not some bad choices, they made a bad choice. And then that brought death into the world. So there was a need for a reset. So many, 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 many years later, God sent Jesus because the world needed redemption. So I want to start today, and let's read these 10 verses in Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 12. And Paul does this thing where he kind of says the same thing over and over and over again to drive home a point. And I see that in this passage. So let's read this, Romans 5, 12 through 21. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come, referencing Jesus. But the gift is not like the trespass or the sin. For if the many died by the trespass of this one man, Adam, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin.
The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man the many will be made righteous. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, I'm really simplifying it to say that this is a spiritual reset. It's so much more than that. And I want to look at three different things that we see in this passage today that Paul is telling us. And the first thing is that through Jesus, sin can be defeated. Now, Jesus even shows us how to do this. You remember the story of John the Baptist baptizing Jesus. And right after Jesus is baptized, and he shows us what we need to do as an act of obedience, he goes off into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And he's hungry, and he's tired. And this was right after this big high of this baptism, this great experience. Now he goes into the wilderness. But one thing he does that I think we don't always do, he fights fire with fire. He uses scripture to defeat sin. We don't always do that. Now, you have to understand something. Jesus was human just like us. And he was also God. And we can't understand that, how he can be all man and all God, and it doesn't compute. Jesus, you know, there's arguments, could Jesus sin? Well, he was human, and we're human, and we can sin. Yeah, but he was also God. And so we see here that the devil is trying to tempt Jesus. He could have served himself. He could have chosen a different path, but he overcame it every single time. And we can too. So I want to look at this passage. This is in Matthew chapter 4. And this is a little bit long too, so bear with me. Right after Jesus was baptized, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you're the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against stone." Now the devil is starting to quote scripture back to Jesus. And Jesus answered him, "Well, it's also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All of this I will give to you," he said, "and if you will bow down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. You ever been hangry? You notice when you're really hungry, it seems to be when you are the grumpiest or when you make the wrong choice. I remember when Amanda and I got married, we were going to go on a cruise, and we took a flight to Houston, and we spent the night one night, and the next day we were leaving. Well, we got there. I mean, I was tired. I was ready. Let's just get to bed. We'll watch TV for a minute. Let's go to sleep. Tomorrow we're going on a cruise. But she was hungry, and I didn't know her well enough yet to know that when she gets hungry and she gets hangry that it is bad for my health. So I had to go feed her. So we went and found food, and that is the only time I ever made that mistake. She even to this day will say, "Are you going to feed me today?" And I'm like, "Yes, ma'am, let's go right now." Straight to Taco Bell we go. Jesus was probably hangry, But he still didn't act selfishly during that time. Now, Adam had a similar temptation. In the beginning, Adam had it all, right? He was right with God. He and Eve had this beautiful creation that God had said, hey, this is yours. You get to name all the animals, and you get to rule this land. It is yours. But then he and Eve made a bad choice. And that sin even had ramifications on us and still does today. Now, I want to look back all the way at Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. It says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. See, this was probably a bit of a high for Adam. He's being told, hey, I created all this for you. This is yours to do with it what you want. Just stay away from this one tree. That's all I ask. But everything else is yours. All of this is yours. You see, Adam handled it differently because he and Eve chose to serve themselves. And what Jesus did was he used Scripture to overcome that temptation. So we no longer have to live in condemnation under the rule of sin. That's what Paul is telling us through God's amazing grace. That's why we sang these songs this morning about God's amazing grace, because through that grace, we no longer have to live that way. The last verse in this passage today in chapter 5 tells us that God's grace rules instead. Jesus made a way for us to experience victory over sin. So if we look back at verse 21, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you hear nothing else today, make sure you understand that through Jesus, sin can be defeated. It doesn't mean that we're not going to make a mistake, but because of God's amazing grace, Jesus' blood washes that away. And in God's sight, we are right with him. Through Jesus, death has been defeated. And this week, that's something we're going to talk about, and you're going to hear about a whole lot, because next week being Easter, it's what we're going to talk about on Friday night, is exactly what it means that Jesus died on that cross for us. Again, in Romans 5:21, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through Jesus, death has been defeated. Through Adam, sin brought death, both physically and spiritually. They were created as these beings that would probably live forever. But when they made that choice and it brought sin into the world, it brought everything that we now think is normal, pain and suffering, death. Those things were not originally part of the plan. But through Jesus, his death brought life. Since Jesus defeated death, since that tomb is empty, we can have eternal life if we choose to follow Jesus and we have a relationship with him. Beginning with the cross, Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave. Just like that song, we hadn't sang that song in a really long time, Jesus Messiah. That is referencing Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 5:21. That says, he, meaning Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin. This person who never sinned, who was a perfect, spotless lamb, knew no sin, never made a mistake, literally became sin so that we might become righteousness, so that we might become right with God. That's what it took. That's what it took. So through Jesus, we see that death is not the end. Eventually, we will be resurrected and we'll receive a new body. And I know a lot of us in here this morning hear that and we're like, praise the Lord. Now, what will it look like? We don't know for sure. But Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:51 through 57, just a little bit about this, says, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with the immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with the immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So beginning with the cross, and Jesus defeated death and hell and the grave, that is something that we should be excited about, because of that, we will eventually get new bodies, even though we may die on this earth. This is just the first part of our story. If we're believers of Jesus and we have a relationship with Him, there's another part that we can't even understand. Yet, we all do everything we can to slow death down. We take vitamins. We buy these creams to get rid of wrinkles. You know, you see this new thing on TV and you think, well, that sounds good. I'm going to buy that. You know, the way I figure it, when I get my new body, I'll probably still be the same height. 6'2 is good. But I'll weigh 180 pounds. I'll have six-pack abs. I will. I mean, I have them now. They're just cushioned. But the great thing about when we get a new body and we get to go to heaven, like I said a minute ago, there's no more pain. There's no more suffering. There's no more sadness. We get to spend eternity with our Creator. And again, we can't fathom that. It's hard to understand because this is all we know is life in this world. But this world is not our home. We were created to spend eternity with God. To point three, Jesus defeated sin, He defeated death, and now through Jesus, we can live in righteousness. Now that was God's original plan, but Adam and Eve screwed it up. They did. They made a big mistake. They just had one thing to stay away from, and they couldn't do it. And so God could no longer dwell with them in the Garden of Eden. But God didn't abandon them. In Genesis 12, we read about Abram, eventually known as Abraham. And God tells Abraham that He's going to bless him. And He's going to make his name great. And He's going to turn him into a great nation. Those are big words. Those are big shoes to fill. And then through Abraham's kids, they would be given a land to essentially recreate a world in the image of God. And then in Deuteronomy 28, it says that this land is full of God's blessings and promises. But like Adam, they chose themselves. They chose selfishness. They created their own gods that they began to worship. Like Adam, they were driven out of this land into exile. But God didn't abandon them. At this point, the world needed redemption. So God sent Jesus so that we could be made right with Him. Maybe it's the first time you're here today at Journey. Maybe it's the first time you've come to a church or you haven't been in a long time. I don't know your story. There's a lot of people in here, and we all have different stories. Let me tell you something. We're all damaged. We're all broken. Just because someone's on stage singing a song or someone has the title of pastor doesn't mean that they're perfect. We all make mistakes. We all sin. One thing we do have in common, though, is that through Jesus, we've been set free. We've been set free from sin and death. God is so powerful that He can take your weaknesses and your failures and use them for His glory. You see, this story today is not just a spiritual reset. It's like a whole new world. Because God showed us that we can defeat sin through Jesus, that we can defeat death through Jesus, and that because of what Jesus did on that cross for us, that we can right now live a life of righteousness. But the first thing you have to do is you have to come to Jesus at the foot of the cross. Lay yourself down and ask him to be the king of your heart. So there's going to be people up front this morning really willing to pray for you, even in the back if you don't want to come up front. Today is a great day to start a relationship with him. Doesn't mean your life is going to be perfect, and living in victory doesn't mean that everything goes your way, because that is not how things work, because the enemy is still here and he is still doing things on this earth. But the thing that he doesn't realize is that the battle's already been won. This is just temporary. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you for your amazing grace. Father, I pray for every person that's in this room this morning. We all have a story. We all have a past. But our sin and our stories and our past are not too big for you. So I pray, Lord, someone is in this room this morning and they have not begun a relationship with you, that today would be the day that you would send the Holy Spirit to speak to them right now. And you would urge them to start that today. Or maybe you need a reset in your own life. Father, I pray that you would show us if we need a reset. Thanks to your amazing grace, we have been set free, and we thank you for that. Bless us today as we worship. In your name I pray. Amen. As the prayers are up front, please come. Let's hit that spiritual reset button today.